World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, man, I'm all over it today. All over. Slept good last night. It's warm here in Ohio. It's going to be in the 80s today. I mowed sky high yesterday. I got to do a little bit mowing today. That always, when I get on that mower, it takes me about right at 4.5 hours to mow. And it's just me and the Lord for 4.5 hours. And I just bounce back and forth, I'm not saying I got a pipeline to the Lord. But sometimes, you know, the Bible says my sheep hear my voice. What? My sheep hear my voice. Do you understand that the Lord speaks to us through thoughts? Do you understand that the devil speaks to us through thoughts? Did you realize that? Did you understand that the Bible says to take captive every thought? Take captive every thought. In other words, when you get a thought, before you just blab it out of your mouth, stop and say, should I say that? Should I say that? Where did that thought come from? Because thoughts lead to, you ready? Faith or fear? Thoughts. It's a constant battle going on inside each and every one of us. Now, I know this right now, all of you right now probably are dealing with some type of trauma in your life that is causing you concern every waking moment, whether it be family, job, business, money, whatever it is, that you are constantly, all of us, constantly being attacked by fear. 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 And it's one of the hardest things to be able to fight against. I'm going to talk a little bit about that today, about faith. Faith being a substance. Fear being a substance. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and evil spirits in high places. Now, how do you wrestle against, if you're not wrestling against flesh and blood, what are you wrestling against? Why, you're wrestling against thoughts. Thoughts. And ask yourself sometimes, where did that come from? Where did that thought come from? Huh? Because you are motivated, all of us are motivated by our thoughts. Our thoughts. What prompts you to pray? Well, maybe you got news about something with one of your children and fear comes on you and you pray. What causes you to get excited? Well, you hear from somebody, something good happened, and you want to call them. So thoughts constantly are propelling you into some type of action. Faith over fear. But the truth is, most of us struggle with faith. We are more apt to give in to fear. Somebody, huh? Come on. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Most of us give life to our fears. And understand that fear is nothing more, starts out as nothing more than a thought. I'm going to dive into some of that stuff here today. But I want to do something right off the bat here. Now, I want all of you to say out there, before we get too far into this, say, I love you, Coach. I forgive you, Coach, when I step on your toes, okay? Y'all are going to say that right now because I'm going to step on some toes. Because we shall know the truth, and the truth, if we know it, shall set us free. Then know the truth. The truth. So I was flummoxed yesterday with this whole thing about Trump being Jesus. You guys know what I'm talking about. Spencer, can you throw that picture up there for me? Now, before we even dive into this stuff, pick up your toes. Please, everybody, pick up your toes. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Does that look like Jesus to you? Would anybody look at that picture and say, oh, Trump thinks he's Jesus? Would anybody look at that picture and think that is Jesus? No. I mean, that's not Jesus. That's Trump. Now, hey, it's Trump laying hands. Are you allowed to lay hands on somebody? Can you lay hands? Do you have to be Jesus to lay hands on somebody? Aren't we commanded to lay hands on the sick and see him recover? Huh? Aren't we? So Trump, his now deleted post goes out. You go to the internet and you look at the people who are screaming, blasphemy, blasphemy, blasphemy. Oh, right. Come on. Some of you. Now, when I looked at this, first time I looked at this, I thought, what the hell is he trying to do? I never thought he thought he was Jesus. Never once did I think when I first looked at that picture that Donald Trump thought he was Jesus. Never once. Until I started reading the commentaries that people were saying, blasphemy! Oh, that's blasphemy! Really? All right, well, pull up Romans 13 for me real quickly here before we get into this too far, huh? Romans 13. Are you ready, boys and girls? Are you ready, boys and girls? Those of you being manipulated by the media who hate him. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. And whether you like it or whether I like it, Donald Trump is ordained of God to be president of the United States. He raises up one, sets another. Anybody want to argue with that? You want to argue with that? That he's ordained. The powers that be are ordained of God. God, Jesus Christ made Donald Trump president. Now, we don't know whether it's for punishment. We don't know whether it's for good or for evil. But there ain't no way that guy became president of the United States without God's approval. Sorry. Hang on. Whosoever, therefore, resisteth the power. Wait, what's the power? What's the power? God. And whosoever, therefore, resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. Watch! For rulers are not a terror to good works. What? Yeah, if you're doing good, you ain't going to get in trouble if you're doing good. Or you might sometimes, you know what I'm talking about. You don't get in trouble for doing good. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Now, President Trump says, love it, like it, lump it, whatever, Iran's evil. He says Iran's evil. By the way, ordained by God. Now, does God say, hang on. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Will you then not be afraid of the power? Folks, not of the government, but of God. Ordained power of God. Do that which is good, and you shall have praise of the same. Are you ready? Hey, you sitting down? Sorry if I yell. For he who, the ruler, is a minister of God to thee for good. By the way, if Donald Trump dressed up like a minister, it's because that's what the word says he is. He's a minister of God to thee for good. Put that picture up out there. Can somebody please explain to me how that is Jesus Christ? That's a picture of Jesus Christ. Can anybody, come on. Or is that a minister of God for good? In other words, is it someone who is trying to do God's will for other people? Now, we know he's an egotist. We understand all that. But who in their right mind would say that he thinks he's Jesus? Pull that back up there, Spencer. He's a minister. He is a minister. Let me read this again Come on. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Will thou then be afraid of the power? Do what's good, and you'll have the praise of the same. For he, Donald Trump, is the minister of God to thee for good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid. For who? The minister beareth not the sword in vain, for he's a minister of God. Who is? Who is leadership? He's a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Time out. Time out. I'm not saying everything he's doing is good. I'm saying he's ordained of God to do what he's doing. Wherefore, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. I want you to know I'm not blowing my horn for Donald Trump here, okay? I'm not blowing my horn for him. But God gives us leaders. He raises them up and he raises them, lowers them down there. And for good or for bad, Donald Trump is God's minister for good. How do I know that? It says it right there. Go back to the top, Spencer. Go back at the top. Let every soul be subject to high power, for there is no power but of God. For whoever resists power, resists him. For rulers are not a terror to God, but to evil. Will thou then be afraid of the same? For he is the minister of God to thee. And I couldn't agree more, Paul. Humility would go a long way with this guy. You go a long way. But for anybody to really seriously believe that that video, that picture is of him claiming to be Jesus Christ, oh, that's a stretch. What if you put, hey, would Betty would be okay if you put Franklin Graham's face on this guy? Would that be okay?
Yes.
How about this? Would it be okay if you put Kamala Harris's face on that? Or how about Obama? What if we put Obama's face on that? So here's my point. We have to be very, very careful of how we are being manipulated. None of us, with what we just read, whether for good or for bad, none of us can deny that God raised up Donald Trump. We don't know if it's for good or for bad. And I was going to write a commentary. I still might get around to it. And I'm going to say this. If we spend as much time bitching about Trump as we, if I'm sorry, let's try it again. We spend as much time praying for the salvation of Donald Trump as we do bitching about Donald Trump. Christians I'm talking to. Maybe we would see some results. Why would you say that, Coach? Because look up Romans 13, no, Hebrews 11. This is really where I'm going. This is really where I want to go today. The faith, Hebrews 11 faith. Now, I pulled it up in the Message Bible. And don't send me any emails about the message. It's not the word of God. Blah, blah, blah. Don't send me any of that. Don't send me any of those. Okay, you ready? What is faith? What is faith? I'm just kind of asking myself, what's faith? Well, faith is the fundamental fact of existence. Is that this is the Message Bible. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. A foundation of God's in control. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what the Bible says. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguishes our ancestors, set them above the crowd. Hang on right now, folks. You have to believe and pray in faith. And for those of you who are dealing with family issues, job issues, work issues, government issues, are you daily praying in faith? Or are you, you say a prayer and then 10 minutes later, praise the devil for how bad the situation is? Faith is substance. I'll pull that up there, Spencer. Now, Spencer, let's get out of here. Let's go, Spencer, go back there and pull up the King James Version real quick, if you could. This is real. Hey, folks, I'm giving you some good stuff here today. Wow, look. Now, faith. Not yesterday, faith. Not tomorrow, faith. Now, faith. In this moment, faith. No matter how bad the situation looks, no matter what's going on with your spouse, no matter what's going on with your sickness, no matter what's going on, we are in a continuous, constant battle for now faith. Meaning what? I'm going to believe this no matter what I see. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Now faith. I see what that, Bible says, look not at things that can be seen. Amen. The things that can be seen are temporary. But look at things that cannot be seen. Boom. The supernatural.
Boom.
Faith. Faith. Lord, you said this relationship was going to be restored. And I don't see it, Lord. I don't see it. Well, then, dude, you have lost your faith. Because the word says it will be restored. Lord, despite what I see, this relationship is going to be healed in Jesus' name. I'm not going to be deflected and distracted by what I can see. Now, faith is a subject of things that hope for evidence. Okay, Spencer, pull up number 5, Webster's Dictionary. Words have meaning. Words have meaning. Faith is substance. Substance. What is substance? Well, in a general sense, being. Something existing by itself. Folks, look, you can have faith in the bottom of the 7th inning that the Reds are going to win, or you can also have faith that they're going to lose. It all has to do with what you believe. What you believe. That's what faith is. In general sense, being something existing by itself, that which really is or exists, equally applicable to matter or spirit. Thus, the soul of a man is called immaterial substance, a cognitive substance, a substance endured with thought. We say a stone is hard substance and tallow is soft substance. You got hard substance or soft? Is your faith hard or soft? You. Despite what it looks like, do you let what you, Oh, let's go back a minute. Go back to faith. I'll charge for this. Oh, yeah. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Faith is supernatural, worldly, spiritual. Despite what you see, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying his own gifts. Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had the testimony that pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Say it again, coach. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So most of us have a tendency to put more faith in the devil, in what we see and what we hear and what we think, than in what God says about it. Am I doing okay, Betty? Am I doing okay here? By faith, Enoch was translated, he should not see death. It was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, without faith, it's impossible. Wow. I'm looking over here. What's evidence? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What's evidence, Ben? It's number 4, evidence. That which elucidates and enables the mind to see the truth. Vinny, that'd be a boom. That which elucidates enables the mind to see truth, not false truth, the truth, what God says about it. It arises from our own perceptions, from our senses, or from the testimony of others, or for inductions of reason. Our senses furnish evidence of the existence of matter. See, folks, look, faith is tangible. It's spiritual, but it's tangible. Our senses smell it, see it, feel it, touch it. The declarations of a witness furnishes evidence of the faith. That's why when you go into court of law, what do they have? Witnesses of evidence. You are a witness to the truth. You are. And how many times, come on now, talking to Coach Dave here. Coach Dave, how many times do you and Michelle speak damnation over situations just because of what you see? Oh, I just know this is going to happen. Oh, I just know that's going to happen. Oh, that. What? What? So in the middle of the whatever it is that's going on, in the middle of it, you got to be fighting with faith. Faith is substance. It's evidence. Now, hang on. Say, Coach, I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and my husband still died. I get it. I get it. And you were believing for a healing. I get it. I get it. But I'm going to tell you something. I think this, if you believe for death, he probably ain't going to get healed. And if you go around, you mumble, woe is me, woe is me. Woe. Hey, folks, hey, that's just called negative faith. We call it doubt, but it's just negative faith. That's all it is. Faith, doubt, that's all. And ask yourself in your common walk with the Lord, are you more influenced by faith or by doubt? Because evidence, we see things going on around. See, I see that relationship doesn't look good. I see it. That's evidence. But I'm going to say what the Lord says about that situation. I'm not going to focus on what my eyes and ears see, because faith is the substance. It's evidence of things hoped for. Huh? So it says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What are you speaking? Whatever the situation is, what are you speaking about it daily? Oh, I knew that was going to happen. Oh, I saw that one coming. Yes or no? Yes or no? Michelle and I pray every day and every night for salvation for some of those that we love. Hey, Betty, I'll be honest with you. I don't see much evidence. I don't see much evidence it's working. But not seeing evidence creates doubt. And I don't know what the Lord said about it. I don't know what the Lord said. He was fearfully and wonderfully made. Huh? I know the Bible says that healing is the children's bread. Well, why didn't he get healed? I don't know. But I know that whatever happened to him was not of God. I'm all over the place. I hope you're tracking with me. He'll be tracking with me. Because we live in a world that's controlled, for the most part, by the wicked one. And the wicked one has convinced you to have faith in calamity. The worst is going to happen. Somebody raise your hand and say, you're talking to me now, Coach. You're talking to me, Coach. I always expect the worst. Well, is that faith? Faith is substance. It's substance. So you can't say a prayer, oh, Lord, that my son will be receive Jesus, and then go blab that he's not saved, he's not following the Lord, and that's why all this is happening. Folks, double-minded man, the Bible says, is unstable in all of his ways. Let him not expect anything from God. So I don't need to tell God, hey, watch your prayers. Watch your prayers. You do not need to tell God what's going on. He sees it. oh, Lord, you know what's going on with Billy. And, oh, Billy's just doing that. Stop that. Stop that. Speak life into Billy. Lord, thank you that you're bringing across Billy's path someone who's going to lead him to Christ. Thank you for that, Lord. That supernaturally, you're moving in Billy's life. Thank you, Lord. Hey, that's hard to do, isn't it? Why? Because you see evidence that doesn't line up with your belief. Oh, this is so good. I'll charge for it. And how many of you sometimes can't even go to bed at night worrying about a situation? That was an amen by somebody on my phone. Look, I'm not here to try to discourage you. I'm here to try to encourage you. And so, come on now. Come on. So much of Christianity isn't faith. Isn't faith. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you're praying for the rapture? Do you understand the consequences of those that aren't saved? The rapture comes and you're out of here and they're left here. Are you out every day ministering, praying for them? I'm going to let you in here in a second. Spencer, pull up number 8. No, number 9. Pull up number 9. Number 9. I've played this before. This was 7 years ago, it says. Hey, folks, there are going to be times in your life, maybe today, when you're going to be around a group of people and you're the only one that has faith. No, no, coach, that's wrong. They all have faith. They have bad faith. They have negative faith. I knew that was going to happen. Oh, I saw that one coming. Oh, I just knew. Oh, yeah. So have you been praying for it? This is one of my favorite videos I ever made 7 years ago. Standing outside the abortion clinic in Columbus, Ohio. I was younger then. Had the same beard. It's still gray. And then I'm looking for someone else. Hey, folks, are you looking at me? You're someone else. In the lives of many people that you're around, you're that someone else. You're the only beacon of hope and faith that they have around them. You're it. You're it. And it can be overwhelming because evidence, look not at things that can be seen, because the things that can be seen are temporary, which means subject to change. But look at the things that are eternal. I believe the scripture says. So this real quick video, I did this, like I said, a long time ago, out in front of the abortion clinic in Columbus, looking for someone else. Go ahead. Some of you have seen it. That's okay.
Hey friends, Coach Dave here on Thursday morning. I'm wondering if you can help me out. I'm looking for somebody. I'm looking for someone else. Do any of you know where I might be able to find him? You know, I called one of my pastor friends yesterday and asked him if he would be willing to come with me today at the clinic. It's just me and my wife here. And he said, Coach, I'd sure like to be able to come, but be honest with you, I'm really, really busy, and maybe you can find somebody else. Then I have a Target protest that's coming up this weekend. You know what Target's been doing with restrooms and all that kind of stuff. And I reached out to several of my friends and said, hey, how about coming with us Saturday morning, stand up against Target? They said, oh, Coach, I'd like to, but I got a lot of stuff planned on Saturday. Maybe you can find someone else. Yeah, and then I saw that, hard to believe this, but they killed this guy out in Oregon, Lavoie Finicum. I said, you know, we need to stand up and push back against that. I'm wondering, is anybody willing to help me out in trying to get the government to investigate what really took place there with Lavoie Finicum? And everybody I called, they gave me the same guy. They said, listen, Coach, we'd love to help you, but really, best person for you to give would be someone else. I'm looking for him. If anybody knows where I can find someone else, let me know. Oh, we need him so badly. Help me find someone else. God bless you.
That's a classic, isn't it? Is that a classic? It's a classic. And so that's where we all are today. And I wondered how many, look, I'm not trying to, if I step on your toes, I step on your toes. Don't mean to. I wonder how many joined the that's blasphemy crowd over President Trump dressing as a minister. People said he's dressing as Jesus. I'm thinking, what? How do you throw that up there? How do you see Jesus in that? Spencer, throw that picture. How do you see Jesus in that? Hey, friends. A lot of people might be able to receive healing through you. You're a minister of God for good. Jesus? It's Jesus? Come on in, Joe Allen. That's my rant for today. 30 minutes.
Yeah, when Trump was coming out to Air Force One, they asked him, a lady did, if he thinks he was is the picture for him being Jesus. He said, no, we're going through some hard times and we need faith.
So, Joseph, if we put the picture of Franklin Graham on Trump, would people be bitching? No, they wouldn't be, would they? They wouldn't be bitching if that was Franklin or T.D. Fakes. What if he put, or Paula White? Well, if we put Paula White's picture on there, would they be saying, oh, blasphemy, No, no. It looks to me like this is some man dressed in robes healing the sick. I don't know what he's got in his hand. He's got light of some kind in his hand. But he's got a nurse down at the bottom. He's got a soldier. He's got a, look, he's got a
flag.
A great cloud of witnesses. He's got somebody praying beside him. He's got a soldier behind him. How can somebody say that he thinks he's imitating Jesus Christ? Folks, this is what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, he said we're going through some hard times.
Wow. You know what it is? He ain't righteous enough for us. Wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. If only he was as righteous as me. Yep. If only if Trump was just as righteous as me. Hey, can you go to the clinic? Can you be like Betty and stand out there and hold a sign? Can you? Are you? Have you been doing that? You've been doing that? Well, you've been praying for Jesus to do it. Adam.
Hey, Coach. Good morning. Hey, I agree with you probably on 99%, but I don't agree on this only because Trump is not a Christian, and only Christians have the authority by God to lay hands on the sick for their healing. Now, I do believe that Trump is appointed in power by God.
Do you believe he's a minister? You believe he's a minister of God for good?
If he's doing good, he is. If he's not doing good, then he's not.
No. That's not what the word says. That's not what the word says.
Well, the Bible does say that God appoints leaders to do good, to do righteousness, to uphold the law.
That's right.
And so, therefore, if they're not doing all that, then are they still appointed by God? So that's where I would disagree.
Could he be judgment? Could he be judgment on America? I don't think anybody can deny he's God's man.
Oh, I'm not saying he's not God's man. I'm not saying that he is not appointed by God, because I do believe that leaders are appointed by God. Mm-hmm. What I am saying, though, is that Trump, he might be God's wrath upon America. We don't know, like you said. But all I'm saying is this, Coach, is that the guy is dressed in the garb of what some people would call the righteous. Now, if that was Obama, or if that was Bill Clinton, or any other Democrat dressed like that, everybody on the right would be flipping out.
What if it was T.D. Jakes? What if it was T.D. Jakes dressed like that? Paula White.
I would be just as offended only because T.D. Jakes isn't a Christian.
Okay, so here's what I would say, Adam. I'm not arguing with you. I'm not offended.
No, you're good, Coach. You're good.
I'm not offended by that picture, not at all. He's a minister of God to good. It's what the Bible says. Is he good?
It
doesn't say he's good.
Picture.
It doesn't say he's good. He's a minister of God for good.
I'm not offended by the picture at all. I'm just offended by Trump's arrogance from time to time. But I am not against Trump. I support Trump. I just don't support Trump's, what do you call it, his ties with Israel. That's where I disagree.
Now you're getting in the weeds. Now you're getting in the weeds. Getting in the weeds. Can somebody tell me how that picture makes him look like Jesus? I'd say it's more likely he looks like a minister in your church. He looks like the Pope. He looks like something else. But ain't nobody ever going to convince me by looking at that, that he's dressing as Jesus. Sorry, I ain't buying it. I ain't buying it. Now, whether or not he's not holy enough or righteous enough, that's a whole nother story. Would anybody out there deny that God has appointed Trump? I can't deny it. Why? Because the Bible says he raises him up and he sets him down. He does. Now, we still don't know, is it for good or bad? I don't know. He thinks it's for good. By the way, he didn't post this originally. Somebody else posted it. It doesn't matter. You know what I would hope? Here's what I would do. I would pray, Christians, that this be true. That President Trump, rather than being offended at the image, pray that he would bring healing to the nation. Pray that he would. Thank you, Lord, that you're working through President Trump. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Instead, we bitch and moan and gripe because he's not righteous enough for us. Just telling you what I think. Come on in, Mary Beth. Hey. I wonder how many of those people griping about Trump and praying for him. Fervently praying for him. By the way, which is a command of the scripture to pray for those in authority. Find that scripture, Spencer. Find that scripture for that we should be praying for those in authority. Go ahead, Mary Beth.
Adam, how do you know he's not saved? I mean, I lived
because he said he's not a Christian. So if you say you're not a Christian,
I've never heard him say that. And I have lived like a pagan as a Christian. Okay, I have. At times in my life, when I was King David and I was everybody else, I lived like a pagan. And I thought that Christians were holy rollers. But God was moving me towards holiness, moving me.
Okay, hang on, Mary Beth. I gotta interrupt her on my own show. I exhort thee, therefore, that first, I'm speaking to all of you out there. Raise your hand if you're guilty. That first of all,
I'm guilty.
Supplications,
I'm guilty.
Prayers, intercessions, and giving you thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And I'm going to tell you, talking about me, I've spent more time bitching about Trump than praying for him. Anybody else raise their hand and say, amen, me too.
That's yep, a boom, too. That's an amen.
Yep, me too. By the way, church folk, not praying for him according to the word, but bitching about him. Not according to the word. In fact, in direct opposition to the word. Christians. Because he doesn't line up the way we think he ought to line up. In fact, we're even arguing. Look, I'm going to tell you something. If we're going to argue about whether or not he's a Christian, I could ask that same question to a lot of you watching this right now, including me. I know this. He's God's minister for good. How do I know that? The Bible says so. What's our obligation? Pray. Huh? I exhort you, therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving you thanks be made for all men. How many of you are praying every day for the conversion of Donald Trump? You're being disobedient. For kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Wait, where does it say posting on Facebook bad things about him? Where does it say that we're supposed to be doing that? And there is no faith in the church, I believe, earnestly praying for Donald Trump. Rather than bitching and moaning and griping about it, what if we every day, what if we fasted for the salvation of Donald Trump? Are we doing that? No. So we're just as guilty as he is. Blowing it up today, aren't we, huh? Go ahead, Gene. I'm sorry, Gene, I cut Mary Beth off. Go ahead, Mary.
Coach, I just have one question. Does somebody know who he's supposedly blaspheming over? Who is that in the picture? Does anybody know? I thought it was somebody instrumental or something. But
do you guys think Donald Trump is doing his best for the healing of the nations? Well, he went over and stirred up a thing in a hornet's nest. We shouldn't be over there. I think we probably shouldn't be over there too. I really be honest with you. But is he opposing good or evil? I don't know. I don't know. And are we praying or bitching? Gino.
Yeah, I was just going to say, when I first saw this picture, it scared me. But I love what your deduction is, because Christ himself, when the disciples came to him, these people over here are doing this and this, they're doing what we are, but they're not part of us. He says, if they are doing things that we agree upon, do not defile them. And then the way I read it, the Antichrist has to say it, that comes out of his mouth, that he is Christ. And I have not heard that. I know Trump has said, I hope I make myself to heaven. But I think I've heard him say, too, that he was not Christ at one time, because people were glorifying him so much.
Yep. Amen. Hey, Gino, Lorna sent me a text. Actually, it was yesterday. The religious Pharisees are out in full force. They are holier than Christ. It's nauseating. They hate Trump. Folks, Christians, we're talking about. When our command is to pray for him. But you can't pray for somebody you hate, can you? Pretty hard to do that. I looked at this picture. When I first saw that picture, I thought, wow. Wow, healing of the nations. Wow. That's good. Alan, come on in. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, good morning. Now we're not gonna pray and fast, because we're gonna complain. We're gonna gripe and complain. Because God's hands on that man, the people's gonna hate him.
That's right.
Just think about that for a minute. The people that love, everybody wanted to kill David, bro. Everybody wanted to kill King David, even though he slayed the giants, did all these things. They wanted it the whole, and David had to encourage himself in the Lord. Why? Because everybody else wanted to kill him. So we're just sitting here watching this, coach. And look, who has done more for the Christian community all across the earth than Donald Trump as far as being a president of the United States?
Amen.
I mean, Trump's the only one got the stones enough to go over and smoke those boys out that's been wanting to smoke us out for 50 years. I remember when I was a little kid sitting in my car driving to school with my mother, and all I heard on the radio, bomb, 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 Iran, bomb, 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 Iran. That's all I heard every day in 78 and 79. That's all I heard going to school, coming home school, bomb, Iran. And finally, we got a man that's got the nuts to do it, and we're going to get mad about it. We're going to get mad because he's slaying some Philistines. You know, he's got a bunch of Philistine foreskins up there, and we're mad about it. We need to go back and study. How in the world? I guarantee you, I really believe King Nebuchadnezzar was one of the most wicked men ever walked this earth. And I bet you we're going to see him in heaven. Why? Because the man of God and God's man, Daniel, the prophet, he was not only a prophet, he was a politician. He was in Nebuchadnezzar's cabinet. All right? He was a politician. People don't want to hear that word, but he was. Joseph was a politician.
Ministers of God for good.
They seen God do through those men, and those men were walking and talking examples of God. Were they Christians? No, because they couldn't be one yet. But because what they saw, what them wicked kings saw, and them men of God, they probably will be in heaven and we'll see them.
Hey, Alan, just real quickly here, what do we call the leader of England? What's his position called?
King?
Prime Minister or King. They got two of them.
Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Prime Minister. If Donald Trump was in England, he would be the Prime Minister.
Coach, Trump stood on the world stage and said, there's nobody even close to Jesus Christ. He said, I ain't nowhere near him. He said, he's the top dog. He brags on Jesus all the time. Look, I'm not saying I like the picture, don't like it. Me personally, if it was me, I'd take it down. That's just my opinion. That's just me.
I did.
And he probably did. I don't know. But the bottom line is I had a bunch of my classmates crawl all over my page, start blasting me like they caught me sinning because this picture come up. I didn't even know anything about it. I was out in my yard pulling weeds, And one of my preacher friends from Mississippi called me. I said, I don't have any idea. And then I crawl on there and I got some of my former classmates from high school just saying, aha, like they caught me with my pants down running around naked or something. And I'm like, well, you jokers need to get in your Bible and study Bible prophecy.
I never, when I first saw the picture, I never for the first time thought he was portraying himself as Jesus. Never entered my mind. Never
I figured it was the Pope, Coach, because him and the Pope's got it going on.
Yeah,
you know,
they got
look,
it going on.
I'm going to be honest with you. And listen, I used to be a Catholic. The Roman Catholic Church is a cult, folks. I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend you, but it's a cult. Anybody that prays to a woman or all these saints, that's cultish. That's paganism. I ain't a part of that. I used to be one. Used to be. Till my eyes popped open.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Alan. Thanks. Laura Ann, come on in. Then Johnny. Laura Ann, then Johnny.
Good morning. It's just what breaks my heart is everybody's so, especially in this cult, our culture, the Christian culture, you're so quick to condemn and to judge instead of show compassion. And who knows who put that up for him? You know, and everybody's got an opinion. But does anybody have the truth?
Mm.
You know what I mean? I mean, I'm so, and why do you think their church attendance isn't there? Why do you think nobody wants to go there? Everybody's so judgmental. It's not a safe place to go. We're not safe people. The meanest, cruelest people I've ever met are somebody that said they bear the name of Christ.
A lot of religious folks. Yep. Amen, Laura Ann. Johnny.
One last thing. Look in the mirror. Since when are you so perfect?
Are you praying for the president daily? Do you pray for the president daily according to scriptures? Pray for our leaders. Do we? I'm going to confess. No, I don't. I didn't pray for Obama. I don't pray for any. I didn't. I confess I didn't. Johnny.
Yeah, I agree with Gino and Alan and Laura Ann there. I mean, I think that it's just another way to, you know, the enemy's constantly at work. When I look at that picture, I can kind of see where it would get flagged as being kind of Jesus-like. And it's
I get it.
It's the robe. That's what it is. And maybe the light coming out of his hand. But what I want to say, more importantly, in that picture, which I think the intent is that I see a man who's got gonads the size of watermelons that's going around trying to eliminate evil throughout the world and replace it with sovereignty for every nation on earth. He's trying to put back what's supposed to be. You know, people have it all mixed up about Iran. He wants those people to be free. Am I incorrect on that? He wants to reinstate. He wants to bring it back. He's fighting the enemy. That's what
seems
we're
to
supposed
me.
To do.
I bet the Christians in Iran are applauding today. Anybody think maybe the Christians in Iran are applauding today? Could Donald Trump be an answer to their prayer in Iran today, I wonder? Oh, they're
so
not American. They're not American Christians. Oh, okay. I get. Right.
So we continue to bite off the very hand that feeds us? Come on. Jeez, how spoiled rotten are we? Knock it off, man.
Now, look. I got a lot I'd want to get in here. I'll let you in just a second. You know Donald Trump's trying to... Do you know he's having a comeback to Jesus as king of America? You know he's having a day doing that? Huh? Can Satan cast out Satan? Somebody help me out here. Somebody help me out. Folks, I'm telling you, the Christians are the most judgmental people in all the world. The Christians are. Come on in, Brett.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Another great show. That's what's great about this locker room. You get things dialed in the locker room, but once you run out those doors, you be united against the other team. None of us are all going to agree. I personally don't think he has righteous fruit. I personally don't believe the media and the radio over 10, 50, 20 years, the propaganda of bomb Iran. I love Alan Zeifer. Alan Zeifer is the one to me who brought the attention of the wicked images on the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. I'm like, oh, my gosh, he's right. Guess what? Those are the same images at Mar-a-Lago. A lot of us have been there. It's a wicked place. A lot of those images are all over his Trump Tower. If I was a Christian, I know I wouldn't have any of those in my locker room. You wouldn't have that in your locker room at London, Ohio. Would you have Dublin High School Shamrocks in there? I love this team, Coach. Keep it up. We're not all going to agree. We're not all going to agree, but let's agree on the big things.
Amen. Oh, this is so deep. We're so Americanized. And I couldn't believe the number of preachers who wanted to get out front and criticize. Those guys, they won't even stand in the pulpit and talk about politics, and they couldn't run to get in front of the microphone, talk about blasphemy. Those guys make me want to barf. Randy, come on in.
Well, Coach, that you know, you've got a lot of courage to go here to this place and deal with this. Because most people won't. So, you know, Coach, I judge you. I don't condemn anybody, but I judge you. I judge what you're saying. I judge everyone in here. And I almost just need to close my eyes and not look at anything, but just listen and discern. And I hear a lot of truth, Coach. And then I hear a lot of things where we disagree, where, okay, do you think that? You think that? And maybe none of us really know the full truth on it. But if you just throw away the people that don't agree with you, then in a year or so, and when you need what they have to say, you've trashed them. So what I do with my brothers that I disagree with, I just say, well, I don't agree, but I'm going to put you on the shelf. You may be right. Mm-hmm. And in time, I may have to say, man, oh, Alan was right. That brother was right on. I'm going to agree with him now. Amen. But if you throw him away, if he throws me away, it's done. We're trash. Amen. We're in the trash can. So, Coach, the point here today to me, I don't agree with what you said about Trump, but that I agree with Johnny and a lot of us. What we need to do is say, am I going to come in and still keep fighting with you over for righteousness and for the kingdom of God and all the rest of the areas? So that's the test today, Coach. Will we come back or will we butt hurt and run away like a little child, like most people do? That's the question where I think
the question, Randy, the question is, are we going to continue to bitch about him or are we going to pray for him? That's really the question. That's really the question. He
right.
Is
that is right. You made a good point there, Coach.
He is the president of the United States. And the word tells us to pray for those in authority, not bitch about them. Now, we have a right to bitch. I get it. But you know this, right? The Christian church is divided over that man. Huh? I'll bet you there's Christians praying against him.
But, Coach, if you read on in Romans 13 and you keep reading the context of what Paul's trying to teach them, they're living in Rome. They're living under the emperor, right, directly, okay, an evil person. Amen. Okay, but he says honor who deserves honor, respect who deserves respect. You know, so it's kind of broad. So I'm not going to honor unrighteousness, but I am going to honor Trump when he does do righteousness. Amen. So we have to be really spiritual with this or we miss the whole point.
Okay, so Randy, here's my point. Folks, I could have just brushed this off. I could have gotten in line behind everybody else and screamed, blasphemy, blah, blah, blah. Have you ever done anything that was misunderstood? Have you ever done anything that was misunderstood? Ever? Ever? And he among you who's never done that, let him cast the first stone. He just happens to have a bigger platform than you and me. Just happens to. And I knew when I started this that not everybody's going to agree, and that's okay. That's okay. But are you praying for the president? Are you obeying the scriptures and praying for those in authority? Or are you griping about him? You posting bad things on Facebook about him? Huh? Texting other people about him? Or are you praying for him? I think we can do both. Jeff Klein, come on.
Coach, you asked the question about the Christians over in Iran, what they think about all this. Yeah. I heard a statistic last night. Now, I didn't know all of this, but just like that wrestler that they killed, they burned him alive.
Burn him alive.
These evil people are sadistic. They are evil. Then they said, Ms. Carl Higbee, because he's a stand-up military guy. He said, the people in Iran talking about all the murders. They had killed thousands of people. He said, them people can't even own guns. They have no guns. They have no weapons. And if they protest, they're warned, you will be murdered. You will be slaughtered. So they can't stick their head above the crowd. So they're looking at Trump like, please help us. Please. Mm-hmm. We don't have a clue what he knows.
We don't have a clue. We don't have a clue. And they've been a threat. They've been a threat to us for how long? And he kind of popped the pimple, didn't he? Said it's time to shit or get off the pot here. You want to bomb us or not? Let's find out. That's why I said, hey, I pray for him. I don't bitch about him. I pray for the guy. Jeff Nares, come on in.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, what does he want? What is, if you were to ask Trump, if I asked you, Coach, what do you want? What do you want out of life? What's he really, really want?
Peace for my grandchildren. Peace in the life of my grandchildren. I think.
Okay, and then you ask, what do you need? And mm-hmm. So I think when you ask those questions of Trump, so I wonder, you wonder about him anyway. What does he want? What do you think his end desire is? And then what is his actual need on the inside? What does he deep down need? And so some of these things that he puts out about himself, you know, there's a need there that I see anyway.
Yep.
You know,
here's what he needs. He needs Jesus. He needs Jesus. Folks, Bible says having a form of godliness. How many of those people do you see in your everyday life? People who have a form. They look like a Christian. They talk like a Christian, but they won't come out of hiding. They won't come out and exercise their faith. They won't tell it with anybody. They won't tell anybody else about Jesus. And they vote for people who are going to kill unborn babies. They have a form of godliness. They look Christian.
Jeff, you know what the crazy thing is? I literally had a buddy of mine ask me the same thing yesterday. And it's just not what you want in life. It's what you all seek in life. And Dave, I do want to touch on what you just said. I mean, there's a lot of people out here that claiming to be Christians. Like, I'm a grateful believer, but I don't claim to be a Christian. I tell everyone that says, yo, you're a Christian. No, I'm not a Christian. People has put a bad rip on that name. So therefore, to this day, I'm not a Christian. I'm a grateful believer. There is a difference.
Amen. Follower of Christ, right?
Amen. And I'm thankful for my boss man because he is one of the most godliest guys I know. Trent Mathley, he is my boss man, and he is one of the godliest guys I know. He's the one that actually introduced me to this group meet.
Amen.
And literally, days I don't listen to the group meet, I have a bad day. But I think it's kind of crazy how I listen to it. I have a good day. Like, y'all make my day good, and I got, because it gives me that clear mind. It's correct me if I'm wrong, Dave. It says in the Bible that if you surround yourself by godly people, you're going to have a good day. Mm. But if you don't, you're going to put all that filth, all that nasty, all that dirt into your body, and you ain't going to have a good day.
Amen. Hey, so Jacob, thanks for being there. How about this one, Jacob? The Bible says that as a man thinketh in his heart. Hang on a minute. You guys think with your heart? I think with my brain. Don't you guys think with your brain?
Yes.
As a man thinketh in his heart, the Bible says, so is he. What's in your heart, folks? What's in your heart? And are we, talking to Coach Dave, are we daily praying in intercession for those in positions of authority? And I'd say the answer to that question is no, we are not. Thanks for coming in, Jacob. It's good to have you out there. Trent, good job, Trent. Spreading the gospel of the kingdom out there. Good job, Trent. Mary Beth. Jack hadn't been in. Come on in, Jack. Sorry, Mary Beth.
It's not Jack. It's my wife. Don't hold me accountable. Don't hold me accountable for this.
All right.
Coach, I absolutely love what you're preaching today. It's absolutely spot on. When Amy Grant many years ago wore a leopard suit, the whole body of Christ went nuts. And I would say to them, have you prayed for her? Are you praying for her? And they would shut up. They wouldn't say. I'm going to tell you almost every day, and sometimes three or four times a day, I pray for Trump. I pray for his family. I believe he has come to Christ. I believe he's a baby Christian and he hasn't had time to throw himself into the Word of God. But I pray constantly for him. I love Amen. Him. I love Amen. You, Coach Dave. And you are spot on today. We need to shut up and stop praying for this man. Amen.
Amen. Jack, feed her a hot dog, will you, brother? Feed her a hot dog. See you tomorrow.